This morning, December 2nd, 1976, I am speaking with the Reverend Dr. Joan Shannon of Westport Point. Dr. Shannon, Joe to his friends, has had a most unusual career. In 1949, he came to Westport from Detroit. Here, he has served as a member of the Conservation Commission and as a member of Westport's Land Trust. In 1961, he created a center for worship, for the worship of God, in the barn behind his house. This overlooks the beautiful West Branch of the Westport River. In doing this, he has given much to the community, his faith, love, and dedication, and been so generous in giving of himself to help those who call on him to help them in solving some of their problems. He makes a contribution to Westport's life that is most unusual. Joe, I'm very eager to know how the very special way of life has become yours. We may for just a moment start back with your beginnings, and as we move forward, hope that your philosophy, the philosophy which underlies your efforts will emerge. Where were you born?
Mary, I was born in Elberton, Georgia on January 20th, 1907, and lived there until I was about 6 years old when my father, who was a doctor, moved to the north. He ended up in Detroit, where I lived until I came here. I went to schools in Detroit, Culver Military Academy, and the University of Michigan, where I graduated in 1930. Times were rather difficult then, and it was not until January 1931 that I was able to get a job, I might say at $10 a
week. When were you married? Married at this time?
No, we weren't married until October 1933.
Mm-hmm.
But I was in business, in the investment business, was engaged in that until I decided in 1939 to go to seminary. Actually, 1948 was my first exposure to Westport Point. My wife, Ginny, and I, and Ben and Betty Brewster, and another couple, came into the harbor in the summer of 1948, came ashore, fell in love with Westport, so that the next summer, when we were about to go to seminary in 1949, I came here for a month before going down to Alexandria, Virginia, where we were in seminary for 3 years.
I
was in seminary, and during the seminary times, why I came up here in the summers, we rented a cottage again from Mrs. Grace Nichols, and in 1953 we bought a cottage from her and continued to come here regularly until in 1959 we had word from Mrs. Nichols that she also wanted to sell her house where we now live here at 1933 Main Road, and we bought the house in 1959. And then moved up here permanently in 1960. It was then that I moved my office. I was executive director of the Church Society for College Work, which has to do with the work of the Episcopal Church in colleges and universities. Moved the office up to Cambridge, which allowed me to be in Westport more often.
Where had it been before?
They've been in Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
Moved it from Washington up here. And in 1961, and this gets down to what you really want to hear about, and that is the time when we started services in the barn. The man who was rector of St. Peter's Church in Pagan Arum suggested that perhaps there ought to be some way to have services in the point, or in where it was a little bit more convenient for people to go to an Episcopal service,
then driving 12 miles or so to Fall River or New Bedford. It was then that we decided to try out in the barn. And we had services there in the summer, the last couple of Sundays in June usually, through the first couple of Sundays in September. Our service is a service of Holy Communion, according to the rites of the Episcopal Church, beginning at 9 o'clock on Sundays. And of course, when we started, we didn't know whether or not very many people would come. We put a sign out on the road, the Episcopal Church welcomes you, service of Holy Communion, 9 o'clock, Sundays during the summer. At the beginning, there were only maybe 20 or 25 people who came.
But that's quite a large group, even for a beginning.
Yes, it was pretty good, I thought.
Wasn't it surprising?
Yes, I really didn't know whether hardly anyone would come, of course, but word got around, and the sign was out during the week, and people came, and they found the barn, and our six windows overlooked the west branch of the river out over the harbor, the rock over the harbor, which is rather a pleasant sight. Our service, yes, our service is rather simple. The setting is simple. We have a table that is up against the window so that I can face the congregation. Our altar rail is an extension ladder set up on blocks of wood and lashed to a post. We have benches that were made by someone here in Westport, and we have old discarded kneeling pads from the Washington Cathedral. I brought 60 of those up one summer, so that our setting is rather informal and rather simple. When we take the offering, I've got a little wicker basket that I simply hand to the first person in the front of the church or the barn, and it's passed around, and the last one who receives the little basket brings it forward. We've used our offering on occasion to help the Methodist Church here, and we've also used it for the Presiding Bishop's Fund for World Relief and other things. We don't take very much of an offering, but whatever we do have, we try to use for other people and other things.
And you spoke of a cross of rushes. Did you gather the rushes here?
Yeah.
Are they Westport rushes?
No, Bishop Corrigan, who has been here several times and took the services one summer during the month of July when we were away, brought us a rush cross made in Mexico, which we hang on the wall back of the table at the services. The service lasts about a half an hour. Sometimes we have music. We had an organ, an old push kind of reed organ that worked for a while, and we had someone who played it some, and we were able to have hymns. In recent years, Baird Hastings, who comes up here in the summers and who plays a flute and is a graduate of the Juilliard School in New York, and who conducts orchestras, he volunteered to play his flute. So the last number of summers we've had music, three hymns usually, a beginning hymn, one in the middle of the service, and one at the end of the service, which has helped greatly in our spirit of worship.
I thought the idea of the flute was simply marvelous. It seems as if it belongs with the river and the barn and all.
It's
beautiful. It must be even more beautiful than the organ was.
I think it's very appropriate, and it's interested me that Baird has been so anxious to do this and has been such a great help. His wife, who is from France, has found this a very meaningful service too, as I think have most people. And of course this leads to other things. From time to time, people who have come to the service have had something on their mind, and they have felt free to talk to me a bit about them and about their problems, and I tried to listen and tried to help in whatever way I could. And I think that it's had some made some contribution in the life of the
family. Oh, many people have told me that it had made much contribution. You've been, in the last few years, you've been associated with the Jungian Society, and you've been a Jungian student.
Yes.
Is that not true, and doesn't, do you use his philosophy in your...
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I have felt that Jenny and I, as perhaps you know, were involved with Dr. Esther Harding before she died. And I've also become involved with the C.G. Jung Foundation in New York as a member of their board. And my involvement and study of Jung has, in a sense, complemented and supplemented my Christian faith. Together, they have given me a bit more understanding about myself, and perhaps a little bit more about other people, and the whole business about the meaning of life, which I faced when I was deciding to go to seminary. I had been in the investment business for a good many years. We lived in the suburb of Detroit. I was on the vestry at Christ Church Cranbrook, and became somewhat dissatisfied with the way my life was going, and wondered if there wasn't some way in which it could have additional meaning or more meaning. And that was when I was exposed to a young man whom we were trying to persuade to become our rector there, and I volunteered because he was concerned about the administrative affairs of the parish and as treasurer of the parish. I thought I knew something about its finances anyway, and volunteered to him that I would spend a business day a week in the parish. And he immediately faced me with the question, if you're that interested, why don't you go to seminary? And that's how it all happened.
That's how it all started.
Yeah.
That is very interesting. I know you've performed services other than those in the barn and other than just your usual ecumenical service.
Yes, well, we had several baptisms, I suppose 8 or 10 over the years in the barn. We've had one burial office set there when one of our dear friends, young men, died. We haven't had a wedding yet, but that'll come in one of these times perhaps, although I've had some weddings, as yet you know, in other places around here.
Mm-hmm.
Ruth and Bill Heath's daughter, Heather, who married Tim Gillespie. We had that service, and then not long ago, I was able to take the service for Ben Brewster and his bride, Bunny Brandt.
Mm. Well, you people are so grateful to you. Everywhere you're spoken of with high regard.
Well, of course, I don't know about that.
Oh, I do. Your public service has been great. Even your getting up in the meeting when we were worrying about the rivers and thanking the Board of Selectmen for all the work they did meant a great deal to them. No one had thought to thank them.
Well, I think you're talking mainly about the time when we were thinking about what we would do with our sewage and
mm-hmm.
our lagoon
yes.
and all
yes.
that, and Mr. Sullivan and the other people who had worked so hard on that. And obviously they were going to be defeated in
yeah.
the town meeting, but it seemed to me appropriate that someone should say a word of thanks to them for the tremendous amount of effort that they had put forward in trying to solve, which is a most difficult problem.
Yeah.
I felt that way about a few other things. One of the first town meetings I went to was when they were trying to rezone the town. And a committee had worked for a long, long time, and the town meeting and its authority, if it has, decided to reject that. And yet even then, no word of thanks is really said. I didn't feel I could speak it because I was the first town meeting I'd ever come to,
mm-hmm.
but I do think it's important that we do give credit and thanks to the people who work on a volunteer basis in the town, and even though their ideas may not be accepted by the town, still they ought to be thanked for the work they've done.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is what I mean.
Yes.
This is part of your personality, is
well.
Part of your involvement in the way people feel.
Well.
I think perhaps I will say just thank you and goodbye, and tell you how grateful I am and how grateful the town will be 100 years from now your giving me this time.
Well, Mary, I'll be 70 my next birthday, and I hope I can continue to be here for a while and that we continue to have services in the barn, because it means a great deal to me. I've gotten more out of it, I'm sure, over the years than anyone else, because it has helped me to fulfill my ministry in a way that, because of the other work I was doing, I haven't had a chance to do. So that this means a great deal to me, and I appreciate your coming down here and taking the time to listen to my few words.
Well, now, thank you.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Joe, I forgot to ask you whether, since you love this place so much, whether it seems absolutely perfect to you, or whether you would change, if you had the power, you would make any changes at all.
Well, I guess, Mary, the thing that I would stress mostly would be the fact that we have such a wonderful situation in the fact that we have these two beautiful rivers coming together, and the ocean and so on. These are a great heritage, and we should keep them, keep the rivers pure, unpolluted, the shore unpolluted and pure, and that we should have, over the period of time, an effort to achieve greater feeling of cooperation between the various aspects of the town, the north and the south, the east and the west, and so on. The people who come here in the summer, the people who live here all the year round. If we can achieve a feeling of brotherhood and cooperation and continue to respect what we have and to keep it, so that there is a greater understanding among people where we make available, which we should do, some of the facilities here, certainly the ocean and all, for others from out of the town. We should try to do that, and at the same time not let it be overrun to the point where the rivers do get polluted, and the things happen that would be detrimental to the system or to the situation. I think there's some signs that this is happening. I think the work of the Conservation Commission, the work of the Westport Land Conservation Trust, the understanding on the part of the town fathers and others that this is our heritage and we should do all we can to protect it.
Yes, and you've been one of the few people who has constantly expressed your gratitude to our selectmen. I think very often we forget that our officials have done as much hard work as they've done.
Yes, well, of course, I felt that way when we were talking about the lagoon recently, and Mr. Sullivan and his committee had worked so hard and arduously, and it was obvious at the town meeting that this was going to be defeated. They were not going to accept the lagoon. And so I felt moved to get up on my feet and say, yes, I think they should be thanked. And even though what they had suggested was not going to come about, they had really worked hard, and that they should be, our gratitude should be expressed as deeply as we know how.
Yes. I think that's one thing that makes you so special, is your appreciation and awareness of the feelings of others.
Well, we all need to try to be as open to the feelings of others as we can, and try to put ourselves in their place when we are able to.
Mm-hmm. Thank you again.
Okay, Mary. Make available certain facilities for recreation outside our own little small community.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I hope the character of the community doesn't change.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that there will be more understanding between various parts of the community and people within the community. And I think that this is important to do. And I think it's the kind of thing, for instance, that is reflected by so much of what your husband Mike wrote in his poetry, and what he spoke about, and what he meant as a person.
Well, I think it is, too.
I do, too.
I I think Westport is so much larger. We think of it as a small community. It is a small community, but many of us don't realize that it is an area. It occupies an area as large as New York City.
Is that right? I didn't realize.
You realize that, including North Westport and South Westport and Westport Harbor and so on, we are many communities.
Right.
And what you've just said about integrating them and becoming one is a very difficult thing to do, it seems to me, and yet a very necessary thing.
I think that's right. I think that the kind of thing that you're doing might help and have more people have a greater understanding that all of us, in the last analysis, are working for the best interest of the town and the community.
Well, thank you very much for giving me this time this morning. I'm very appreciative.
It's a pleasure. Thanks, Mary, for coming.